If we pause a moment and think about Jesus' time, because we are traveling back to millennia, we're traveling back to that time of birth, that time of Jesus living. It was a rough life. If you were a little bit different, if you were off just a little bit, something about you was different, you were ostracized. I have a story to tell you about that. I was always mechanicking on things when I was still living at home with the folks, and we had chickens. My mom had a herd of chickens. I guess that's not quite right. What are they called? Flock of chickens? A cackle of chickens, there you go. But somehow or other, the chickens, I believe I was rototilling. And chickens don't seem like they've had much of a brain. I mean, their head is pretty small, but when I start the rototiller, they would come running from wherever they were, because you stir up that dirt and all the bugs, oh, they were in seventh heaven. And normally the chickens would keep some distance from me, but when I was rototilling, they'd be right underfoot, because that's the best time to get to those bugs. And somehow or other, I splattered a little bit of oil on one of the hens. Just some flecks of the oil, dark colored oil, got on the feathers of the hen. My mother noticed. And she grabbed the hen as quick as she could get to it. She says, we gotta clean this off. And I said, why? It won't hurt it. I mean, it's just a couple of spots. She said that the other chickens will see those spots, and they're different, and they stand out, and they will peck at those spots. And they will peck till that hen is dead. Just an animal reflex. Maybe they think it's a bug. Who knows? But a piece of us as animals, we, in that angry time, and maybe even today sometimes, when we see someone different, we kind of hold them aside. Maybe you're colorblind. Maybe you're hard of hearing. Maybe your eyes are not so good. Maybe you're blind, or maybe you have a limp. All of those would have pushed you out of the community, excluded you, and held you out. And so you were ostracized. It would have been a difficult time. You were not only ostracized from community, you were kept out of the temple. No one that was not of pure and correct and upright and honorable could be allowed in the temple. So many, many were kept aside. Not only that, they were in a nation that was besieged by the Romans. The Romans had enslaved everyone, and you had no rights. The Roman punishments were cruel. It was a difficult time, and we sometimes need to pause and reflect on that when we think about how bad things are today. Yes, COVID is rushing. We have flu, we have the RSV, or I think those are the three. Deb Gunther is our health expert. Is that the trifecta that's impacting us? We've been through worse, and we are dealing with it, and we're getting there. But nonetheless, back in this day and age, a Savior was born to the people. The people in need, the people bereft, the people adrift in the sea, and an angel of the Lord told Mary, you shall conceive. And she did, and she bore the Son, the Savior of the world, the master teacher who gives us direction and shows us how to grow the kingdom of God. Did the people deserve it? Do we deserve it today? We won't get too deep into all of that theological discussion, but God's grace brought the child to the people. You shall name the child Emmanuel. I-M-M-A-E-M-M. Either way, both spellings are used often. But it means God with us. God with us, Christ, the baby, born among us, a human among us, undeserved, but this awesome, tremendous gift to humanity. Last night after a Christmas Eve service, it was a worship service. It was not a good performance. It was a good worship. And it was great to be with everyone, and I went home, and as things were settling down, I had the TV on, and I scanned to Channel 6, and they had a choir from somewhere, and they were right at the peak of a crescendo. They had a full choir in perfect adornment. They had orchestra. They had all of this. And the noise and the crescendo and the sound. And all I thought was, wait a minute, where is the silence of the baby born in a manger? This is a simple and quiet, and the only one celebrating, shepherds. Of course, the angels up on high heralded the birth, but I wonder if we haven't turned it into too great an achievement, too grand, too awesome. Cathedrals and choirs, and I have to admit, I love some of the choir pieces. The Hallelujah chorus still brings me to tears. But here was the baby born, vulnerable, helpless, poor. You know the description of a baby, all noise in one end and no responsibility on the other. Some of you young parents didn't smile at that, I understand. Years from now, you'll understand how humorous that is. And not only that, but we heard the second birth narrative from Matthew. Last night we heard of Luke's version. This was Matthew's, the child born. We need to remember that after the child was born, they had to flee. Joseph and Mary and the baby had to flee, and they were political refugees. That's exactly what a political refugee is. They had to flee for their survival. And through the hospitality of the Egyptians, they survived. Gives us something to think about, doesn't it? Thinks about something about hospitality. But we turn to God's grace and we think about it, and even John wasn't sure after Jesus had been among them for a while. John the Baptist wasn't sure if this was the Messiah. He had a feeling it was, but he had doubts. All people have doubts. If you don't have doubts, you can't have faith. And from those doubts, we do have that faith, and we know. But they sent messengers to Jesus saying, "Are you the one?" And they went to Jesus, and he responded that the blind are made to see, that those who could not walk are walking, those who have had bad skin diseases, the lepers, and other diseases, they are healed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up to life, and the good news is preached to poor people. This is what Jesus says. This is who I am. This defines me. And this defines how we are as a people, as disciples. And God's grace is poured out upon us and upon humanity. From that grace, we have received. Pretty awesome thing. Did you open your presents already this morning? Some of you, some do at Christmas Eve. I always thought that was a giveaway, but it would make sense, especially when I was young and I would get the whole family up before the sun was up because I couldn't wait any longer. But Christmas morning has come. We have not yet opened them at our house. I know that the young one in my house says she has a pretty good guess what most things are, and I know she's anxious to do that. Melissa, are you anxious to open presents? Yes, she says. And we will do that after having worshiped. But all those gifts that we receive, think a moment about what gifts you also gave. And think about the gift that we received and the gift of the baby born to us, the Jesus, the manger, the poor, the helpless, and yet the Savior. This is the one. And from his grace, we have been gifted. And out of that giftedness, we are called to be gifts to the world. Yahweh, God of the Hebrews, early on said, "You are my people, chosen to be a gift to the world." And that has never changed. We are those. We are those chosen to be those who grace others around them. Be that grace. Be that grace that is God has graced us that we can share. Look around. The world needs it. Look around. There are people that don't know the story. They don't know the truth about who Jesus is and was, a real living person who has graced us and through whom we can grace others. Look around at the world needs to hear love. God loved us on that Christmas morning. God loves us continually. God is with us in love. Christ at the right hand. So on this Christmas morning, I bid you Feliz Navidad, Merry Christmas. And I bid you celebrations of gifts. And I bid you celebrations of gifting.